May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as we delve into our gospel story today, this first story that's going to help us prepare in the season of Lent, we're going to get a little guidance from a special character, a little guidance from a cricket named Jiminy. Now, you might know Jiminy Cricket, right? Famous from the Disney classic Pinocchio. Well, in the movie, Jiminy Cricket is Pinocchio's guide. He's supposed to help keep Pinocchio out of trouble and help him along as he goes on a quest to change from a wooden puppet into a real boy. When the two first meet, Jiminy Cricket sits Pinocchio down and tells him they're going to have a heart-to-heart. He wants to help prepare Pinocchio for all that is ahead. The world is full of temptations, Jiminy Cricket warns him. Temptations? Questions Pinocchio. Yep, temptations, Jiminy Cricket says, and then he tries to explain. The wrong things that seem right at the time, but even though the things may seem wrong, sometimes the wrong things may be right at the wrong time, or vice versa. Understand? Uh-uh, says Pinocchio. Nope. Not only does Pinocchio not understand, but Jiminy Cricket himself doesn't seem to totally get what temptation is. He just knows that it's not something good, and he should help Pinocchio avoid it. Looking at our gospel reading today, the story of Jesus' temptation, we might have similar confusion about just what temptation means and how to spot it. Jesus has spent 40 24-hour periods fasting in the wilderness, refraining from food and drink, so that his energies instead are spent on prayer and meditation, centering himself and reconnecting and growing in his relationship with God. He's preparing for his earthly ministry that's about to begin the second he leaves that wilderness. The scripture tells us at the end of this time, he is famished. And diabolos, in Greek, meaning the chief of demons, the whole reason that Jesus was led into the wilderness in the first place, diabolos appears after those 40 24-hour periods. The first temptation that diabolos offers seems, well, it seems sort of tame, right? He asked Jesus to turn stones into loaves of bread. And after that long without food, it seems like kind of a reasonable thing, right? It doesn't seem crazy. Who would this actually hurt if Jesus were just to turn these stones into bread? It doesn't seem like a big deal. But Jesus resists. The second temptation that diabolos offers is for Jesus to throw himself off of the temple to show that angels will indeed catch him and prevent him from falling. It seems like that would actually be a pretty good show of Jesus' power and might, a demonstration to give hope to his followers or to dispel the doubt of those who might question his identity. But Jesus resists. The third temptation that diabolos offers might seem a little more obvious. He offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he will just bow down and worship him. Now, worshiping the devil kind of seems like an obvious one, right? Obviously, Jesus should avoid this one, but think for a second. Jesus has to just bow down to him once, and then Jesus is ruler of all the world. Isn't that what we pray to happen at the end of time anyway? Wouldn't that be a good thing, a great thing even for everyone? Jesus would rule over everyone with peace and prosperity and goodwill for everyone. Last week, I introduced the idea of questions, and questions will continue to permeate everything that we reflect on during Lent this year. We will meet in the following week's characters who all have questions for Jesus. But today, the central question might be ours. Why does this matter? These all seem like they could be reasonable things to do. Aren't many of these things stuff that Jesus is going to do in his earthly ministry anyway? Why are these temptations? With Pinocchio, we might now be confused and asked, temptations? What's a temptation? In his confusion, Jiminy Cricket does get it right, though. In his confusion, he does get part of the explanation there. Temptation happens when the wrong things seem right at the time, or when something that seems wrong might actually be right at the wrong time. In Jesus' situation, it's not that food or power or leadership are inherently wrong, but rather it's that they can be used for wrong ends or at the wrong time. Food is a temptation to Jesus when it's used to only satisfy his own hunger, while millions of others go hungry. It's a temptation to Jesus to demonstrate his close association with the powerful by proving that God's angels will keep him from injury, because so much of his life will be spent amongst the poor and lowly. It's a temptation to Jesus to secure the glory of political leadership for himself, because in the end, he will be executed by those in just such places of authority. Diabolos' questions here hit right at the heart of Jesus' earthly ministry and what it will come to be all about. They are questions about how Jesus will use or not use his role as the Son of God, how he will use or not use the power and privilege that have been given to him by God Almighty. Jesus will, in fact, come to answer these three questions differently over the time of his earthly ministry. He'll answer these same questions, but with a different response. Jiminy would remind us sometimes the thing that seems wrong might be right at the wrong time. In the wilderness, for instance, Jesus refuses to turn those stones into bread to assuage his own hunger. But before long, Jesus will feed thousands in the wilderness with just a few loaves of bread and some fish. And he will teach his disciples to pray for their own daily bread. In the wilderness, Jesus refuses to take advantage of his relationship to God by hurling himself from the heights of the temple. But at the end of his earthly ministry, he will endure the taunts of others while trusting in God's power to the end upon the heights of a Roman cross. In the wilderness, Jesus turns down the devil's offer of political leadership over the kingdoms of the world. And instead, he offers the kingdom of heaven to all those who will follow him on the path of righteousness. In the wilderness, this place of preparation, as I talked about with the kids, Jesus prepares for all of this that is to come. You might remember that this story of Jesus' temptation, it happens after another very important point in Jesus' life. The story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness comes right after the story of Jesus' baptism. When he is washed in the River Jordan by John, and God's voice announces that he is God's beloved. This story today reveals that to be God's beloved is to be tempted. It's a part of the package. And in the waters of baptism, we too are all claimed as God's beloved forever. And so we are guaranteed to face temptation in this world as well. In our lives, we too are called to avoid the temptation to amass more than we need while others go hungry. We too are called to avoid insisting that God's loyalty and love for us should be tested and proven. We too are called to avoid claiming glory for ourselves by choosing the world's values of self-sufficiency and vengeance and pride over obedience to God. That these temptations exist to begin with is not a matter of punishing us, just as Jesus' time in the wilderness is not a matter of punishing him. That these temptations exist is simply a part of being God's beloved people. If we belong to the one who chose to show power in weakness, whose wisdom looks like human foolishness, and whose ultimate triumph is accepting death on a cross, then we cannot expect to live without opposition from the world. Learning to recognize and flee from those temptations, learning when the thing that seems right is wrong, and when the thing that seems wrong may actually be the right thing to do at the time, that allows us to instead use bread as Jesus did, to feed others and reveal to them God's love for them. It allows us instead to trust heartily in the promises of God even without proof. It allows us instead to claim the everlasting kingdom of heaven as ours instead of the temporary kingdoms of the world. Learning all of these temptations well leads us into deeper relationship with God and with one another. It leads to a greater interconnectedness between all of God's beloved children. And it is what we prepare for each year as we journey in the wilderness of Lent. We prepare here so that we might go out into each and every wilderness of our own lives, into each and every dry and empty and barren and dangerous and desert place that we face, prepared and strengthened, knowing that Jesus has gone before us and ready to rely on one another and upon God. For this time of preparation, and for the renewed faith and life God offers us in it. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.